Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and it's something gorgeous, Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah, I'm just, the Twitter's gone bonkers, so we've got lots of, we'll wait. Shall I read out some or not?
Yeah, no, you can read some, yeah.
Well, Monkey C, he's the legless wanderer on the Twitter, and he says, he's a friend of mine, but he says he can relate to this with all the drugs shoved down my throat. This is yours.
This is Emma, yeah.
All the drugs shoved down my throat when I was a young lad. Mm. And he says, be very careful with the nervous system type painkillers, e.g. tramadol and gabapentin, particularly if your brain nervous system is more active. They cause mental health issues such as severe anxiety, which, of course, Emma, you know.
Yeah, and that's the problem, isn't it? A lot of the things that are given as solutions end up causing much worse issues.
Yeah, always read the side effects, because the side effects are sometimes worse than what you've got, almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's bonkers. Mm. And then Sarah Marsh Collins has tweeted me about dogs, because we're always talking about dogs. And she says, not puppy, Jules, but baby dog is trending.
Baby dog.
Yeah.
Goodness
and she says, I'll leave that grenade there. It's like fur baby, isn't it? It's it's a dog.
Mm. I've had a tweet from Samantha Gummer. And she said, I'm all set up now, ready to listen to the next guest on the Business Bunker Show. Have a great show, guys. Sam is the owner of Step Resourcing, and they're a construction recruitment company. So she's obviously interested in hearing what you guys have got to say next.
And our regular listener, Martin Reeves, who listens in the loft, and I think his wife, is trying to make him do a DIY. Mm. But he says, amazing story of Emma. I've been through very similar, he says, and with Paul's mum too, your mum, with what she's going through. I've been stuck on medication, fentanyl being the strongest one for years, but I think marijuana, more so the THC element in it, would be more beneficial, Martin. Mm. So, yeah, it is strange how these doctors, all they know is just what they're taught in medical school. I had a fight with my dentist, quite interesting. I haven't used fluoride toothpaste for like 25, 30 years.
Yeah, now we can smell.
My kids never did. The horse's teeth, listening. My kids never had fluoride tablets or anything like that, or toothpaste. And then I got some fillings suddenly. And my dentist said, oh, it's because, you don't use a fluoride toothpaste, because all she knows is fluoride. I said, I haven't used one for 25 years. The reason I've got decay suddenly is because I'm taking lots of homeopathy, which is full of, it's got sugar in it. And I was taking it all through the night for AstraZeneca injury. So I was lying in bed, just shoveling them down and obviously not brushing my teeth. So, but she just said, you really should have a fluoride toothpaste. And that's all they're taught. Mm. And personally, I'd avoid fluoride like the plague.
Right, we've had a complaint.
Emma wanted to say something.
Oh, sorry, Emma, go on.
I was just going to say, I completely agree, and it's scary. And I found out fairly recently that, at least in the UK, at medical school, from what I understand, doctors have about, it's either a day or a week of training around nutrition.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And the rest of it's just, this drug. So, and there are great doctors out there, I do have to caveat that, but the systematic way that these issues are dealt with, obviously there's a very, very deep and widespread problem.
Well, the food industry is probably as bad as pharma. If you look at ready meals and stuff like guar gum and xanthan gum, xanthan gum is in everything, and soy is in everything now because it's cheap. Mm. And so really the food, ready meals and that sort of stuff, the stuff with salt, fat and sugar that are added to absolutely everything, including just when you think you're eating a savoury. Mm. The foods and pharma are very, very similar. They're just about making money.
Mm-hmm.
That's another show, Emma.
I
need to read this, because then I need to talk to Mark and Polly.
Paul's trying to get a word.
Because I'm really
in.
Bored with you.
Yeah, he's trying to get a word.
And we've had a complaint.
Yeah, go on.
We've had Steph Young. I'm really sorry, Jules, but I just didn't hear a South African accent whatsoever.
Yeah.
Steph's based in Cape Town. Yeah.
I need a bit of practice. Be a sport and
try again, she said. Come on.
I haven't been for a while, man. I need a bit of practice.
Was that it? That was it. I need to go back. Yeah.
Quickly.
Sorry, Steph, we can't deliver. She's failed.
My northern is better now. Hey,
Talking about food, Sarah Marsh Collins says, thank you for the shout out, Jules and Paul. Listening to the Business in Bunker live from my conservatory while eating leftover lamb kebab.
Oh, lovely.
I had a moment when Jules was talking about sea swimming, but I've got over it.
During her lunch.
Yeah. Sorry, Sarah. Yeah.
We have to be aware that people are often eating and listening. At the same time.
Yeah, okay. Do keep your tweets coming in. Do let us know what you're up to. And do feel free to join in with the show. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb or her at Jules Serkin. Please use the hashtag BBunker so that we can find your tweet and we will attempt to read them out. But it's now time to hear from our next guest. And it's really, really interesting to be joined on the show this afternoon by Mark Woodcock. And he's Able Assistant Polly from JobMatcher. Folks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Right, who wants to go? Oh, I don't care who goes first. You can both talk at the same time. It really doesn't matter. Give us an overview. First of all, tell us a little bit about each of you, a bit about Mark and a bit about Polly, because you're both kind of doing interesting stuff. And then we'll talk about JobMatcher. Yeah?
Shall I go first, Polly?
Yeah,
go for it.
No problem at all. So I'm an Ashford boy, born and bred.
Right.
Hey, Kentish.
Man of Kent, or Kentish man.
Right.
And I've had a long career, 20 years plus, I think we say nowadays, in things like tech, e-commerce,
right,
hospitality and travel. The last few years since COVID, been working with some very interesting businesses in the Ashford area, including JobMatcher.
Right, okay, cool. We're going to come on to that in a minute. Let's hear a bit about Polly. I've met Polly because Polly fantastically supported me on one of my school's careers events at the Y School, did you not?
Yes, I did. It was really good, actually.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
For inviting us along. I've been working for JobMatcher throughout the last 6 months or so.
Right.
We're quite a small team, so me and Mark pick up pretty much everything. We wear a lot of hats.
Right.
It's lots of fun working for a startup. Every day is very different.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, lots going on.
Yeah, and Marcher is a startup, effectively, isn't it? How long has it been going on?
We've been about 18 months in development,
right,
and we've literally been rolling out into the market for the last 2 to 3 months. The interesting thing about JobMatcher is that it's been inspired by another local business, the Riff Group, who are probably best known for their refunds business,
yep,
putting tax returns back into people's pockets, but also Riff Social Enterprise, and that's a not-for-profit business. Works with those who have a long way from employability, like people with convictions, the long-term unemployed, and frankly, those two businesses were the inspiration behind what we're doing at JobMatcher.
Okay. So describe to us what it is, what the inspiration, you've kind of touched on what the inspiration was, but, you know, why you've done it, what you've done it, and what your aspirations for it are, and what it is.
Sure.
Obviously.
That's one for a radio audience. It's JobMatcher with an A, isn't it?
Yeah.
JobMatcher.
JobMatcher.
But it's basically a recruitment app. It does what it says on the tin.
Right.
It matches construction industry workers who are skilled, qualified and certified with considerate construction companies. You want to make sure they've got the right people on site,
yep,
who are who they say they are and who can do the jobs they say they can do. So although it's a tech platform, it's manifested a very handy app which is free for workers and for employers to use.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
free app.
First and foremost, everyone likes a free app.
Yeah.
And if you like, it's for the worker to build a profile that something they can be proud of. Think of it as their professional passport, so they've got their skills, qualifications, career, overtime, access to well-being resources, training resources. It's a career in a pocket, basically.
Okay, can I ask a question now? Is that aimed at self-employed construction workers, permanent and construction workers, or both?
Work for both. PAYE, right. Self-employed CIS scheme, it works for both equally. We just felt it was about time that particular the blue collar worker could have some agency and responsibility over their own career rather than be at the behest of contractors and subcontractors. And what we know from employers at the moment, the construction industry is burdened with a lot of compliance and hoops to jump through. So right to work checks, we do that in advance for the employer. Checking things like their certification cards, we do that in advance for the employer. So the employer's got a pool, if you like, of pre-vetted, pre-verified quality workers. We know a lot about them. We can match them with the right jobs.
Yeah. I said this when I was talking to someone the other day about construction. Of course, the government in their wisdom. Wisdom and the government in one sentence, really. Have come up with this this scheme is probably the worst group of people to impose reverse VAT on ever. Yeah, they've got this stupid VAT scheme that, you know, they're trying to get self-employed builders to fulfil, and it's one of the most complicated things I've ever come across.
Try and get a self-employed builder just to give you a
to do anything, let alone do a reverse VAT return.
They
yeah, absolutely.
Through their teams, and then you never get a quote unless you push them 100 times.
But of course, the construction industry as an industry, as you quite rightly say, Mark, has got lots of regulations about it. There's lots of issues, and of course, there's a huge move towards eco green issues in the construction industry in terms of trying to make new builds function without gas and all that kind of stuff.
That's somewhere we like to help out, actually.
How do you do that?
There's been a trend in the construction industry for just finding any worker, and that could mean shipping somebody from Dry Groves to Land's End. What JobMatcher is heavily biased towards is locality and community, so jobs to people within the community. So when we try and link a job to a worker, yes, they've got to have the right skills, experience and certification, but they've also got to be local. We'll preference those people, and we think that's obviously a benefit to the community that both the employer and the worker are in, but obviously the carbon piece as well, in terms of there being a lower carbon footprint. So construction companies want to do the right thing. We feel that our bit of tech will help them do the right thing. Another example would be where we partner with Rift Social Enterprise, the not-for-profit I mentioned earlier. They've had a pipeline of people with convictions, the long-term unemployed, into the app who want to go into construction.
Right.
And by us matching them with care and construction companies, everybody's doing their bit.
Yeah.
So we're a job board, Paul, but we're trying to do some good things with it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's a number of things. One, you're a very niche-focused job board, which is brilliant. As you quite rightly say, you're trying to do something that is that has some corporate social responsibility in it as well. And you're fulfilling a need, you know, because construction is one of those almost every area of recruitment in the UK is suffering at the moment. There's 1.2 million unfilled jobs in the UK right now. It's incredibly hard to fill jobs still, although it's getting a little bit easier. But construction is one of the main industries that struggles with recruitment.
And agriculture and hospitality, of course.
Yeah, agriculture doesn't employ many people, but it is difficult to get.
I was at Mallard's farm the other day on the way home from Bunker, and it's in Faversham, and he can't get a tractor driver, he can't get a gardener, people just don't want to work, turn up and then they don't stay.
Yeah.
And he's really struggling.
Yeah, but less workers than ever before from the EU. That's impacting.
Of course, our lovely Polish
and agriculture, indeed. And you know, with the very sort of complex supply chains in construction, the cost pressures, there's a high turnover of workers, and the workers who are working often have too much to do. And it's probably worth noting that, you know, there's been something of a mental health crisis in the construction industry.
Suicide.
The scary statistic, I think, is in 2 suicides on average a day from
construction. Yeah, I actually spoke at a construction conference 3 weeks ago looking at mental health issues. Were you there? Were you at it? No, I don't think you were.
Because we mentioned this last week, I believe.
It was
the week before.
It was staged by Genco, the construction company, in association with iTrust Assurance, and the whistle blowing up. Yeah, and I hosted the event, and it was a real eye opener. There's lots of people talking about mental health issues in construction. 574 suicides in the last year.
That's awful, isn't it? And you were saying, you know, roughy toughy builders sometimes might not want to talk about it. They just go down the pub or they go home and bottle it all up. So, you know, there's that element of being very tough as a builder, perhaps.
That I saw, which was put together during the Mental Health Awareness Week recently, was that 92% of the construction workers surveyed wouldn't talk about it or found it difficult to talk about, despite almost 75% of them all experiencing some kind of mental health issue every month.
Did they say reasons why?
It's as you'd expect. It's the cultural tough guy, we go home, we put a smile on and we forget about it. And it needs to be tackled. Everybody can do their thing in their own small way. So at JobMatcher, we try and signpost the wellbeing resources to the work of people like the Lighthouse Club. And we've also developed a button, which is basically a help me button.
Right.
So should there be any whistleblowing, potentially for health and safety, should there be any cases of abuse or bullying, or they just want to talk to someone, they can access that through the app.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So through your app, there's a Help Me button,
correct.
Did you say?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Brilliant. It's signposting. It's about opening conversation and letting people hopefully find their way.
That's a really, really good idea. And what about apprenticeships? Do you have any sort of sidelines on the apprenticeship?
Absolutely. As Paul mentioned, the construction industry has a skill shortage, and it's particularly a shortage of young people coming through the ranks with skills. So we've been working with colleges recently to talk about Job Matcher and encourage people to come into the industry. Polly, I believe you're going to see Folkestone College tomorrow.
I am, yeah.
You can tell us all about that in a minute. Yeah.
I love Folkestone.
I've done a lot of work with Ella Brocklebank and Cheryl Crawsford from the Women in Kent Women in Construction Group. And Charlie Cremo Graham, who's another lady in construction, and there's a lot of effort to try and get young people, but especially women, to look at jobs in construction. Because when we think about construction, we tend to think about bricklaying and you know labouring type jobs. But the world of construction has hundreds of different roles. You know, some of them are physical, and some of them are incredibly complex mental jobs like architecture and all the things that goes with building design and project management and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really broad category of employment, but people don't always see in those terms, do they? They have perceptions about it.
One of our advisors at Job Matcher is a lady called Jean Dupre, and she's involved with Women Construction in London. And Polly's been lucky enough to go to one of her events recently.
Yeah.
And there's just such untapped enthusiasm and skills there, and it's certainly a big part of the way the construction industry needs to go.
Yeah. So, Polly, what are you up to with Folkestone College?
So, we are going in and providing free, it's called an introduction to self-employment. So, we're going in and speaking to the construction students. And it's just a bit of a presentation about things to think about, the benefits, considerations, that kind of thing.
Are you talking to students that are on construction courses or students on anything?
We're talking at the moment to students on construction courses, and then we can introduce them to the app, give them a bit of, because when they finish college, then they don't always have something lined up.
Sure.
So it's just a bit of an awareness piece for them, really.
It's really important that, you know, from my own point of view, with the things that I do, after all this time, after all these years, still there's a huge number of people out there that aren't really sure how to go about getting a job in their chosen field. And, you know, we need to signpost them, especially young people coming out of school, college, university. They need to be signposted, they need to be helped in sort of knowing where to look, where to go. Because there's a mentality that says, if I'm looking for a job, I'm on the back foot. Yeah, if I apply for a job, I might get an interview, I might not. There's no feeling about, hold on a minute, I have skills that are in demand here, and therefore I can look around and open up my perspective. You know, people just apply for the first thing they see and then hope they get it, and, you know, they need
really,
help.
Really sort of depressing psychology for job seeking, and you know, you see it if you go to some of the larger job sites in the world. We're not talking about the excellent ones locally in Kent and the home counties, of course, where, you know, you sign up and before you know it, you're spammed with 1,000 emails a month with jobs that either don't exist, pay the wrong amount of money, or in a wrong field for you. Then you're having to apply for jobs, getting knocked back after knocked back, or more often nowadays not getting replied to. Now Job Matcher turns it on its head a little bit. So just as an executive recruiter would do, they understand exactly who the worker is, what they want, what they want to get out of bed for in the morning, how to pay, for example. And Job Matcher will only notify and reach out to that worker once they have a firm job offer.
Right.
So none of that endless clicking and hoping. You know, we will come to you with something on a silver platter when it's there.
Yeah, absolutely. You find that all the time, don't you? There are certain job sites about, if you go and look for a job in Maidstone, they'll give you a job in Maidenhead. You know, you just go, Jesus, really. Okay, if you don't mind, I want to kind of take back to the beginning of Job Matcher. You've come up with the concept of doing it. Just talk us through how it's evolved, how, you know, how the whole thing's come together, and what you had to do, and anything that you had to overcome, or any, you know, kind of interesting stuff along the way in this journey.
Yeah, and it has been quite a journey, even in a short 18 months. What we brought together quite early on was a bunch of quite disparate stakeholders from tech backgrounds, construction backgrounds, recruitment backgrounds. We knew we wanted to launch something, and we knew we wanted to launch something that could solve problems. So with experience in the construction industry, we went there first. We sat in a room not dissimilar to this one we're in, with white walls, and we covered it with the problems in the construction industry. It left a couple of our colleagues in the construction industry scratching their heads, not quite believing they're working within a sector like that. But whether it was the work for the worker, for the employer, or for the community, we had reams and reams of problems. So what we felt we could start off was just trying to help some of those. So can we help a blue-collar worker feel proud about their work?
Yeah.
Can we help an employer make sure that there are less accidents on site? Can we deliver in the community a construction job for somebody who has a conviction or is unemployed? Mm-hmm. And we thought every little thing we could do in building blocks towards those kind of three manifesto issues we thought we'd do well. Naturally, like any business, you know, every month, every week, we have to be agile and pivot. There's new themes, new trends, even new tech. We use a form of artificial intelligence that was cutting edge about 18 months ago. But actually, some of the new releases on the market now are more cutting edge than that. So we've had to upscale and develop that over time. So it's about continual development, I think, in the technology space. You don't just put a project plan together and finish. It is like painting the fourth bridge, and long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So, from this kind of brainstorming ideas, you then started work on developing the app. During that life cycle of developing the app, did you change, you know, did your thinking on it change drastically, or has it just kind of evolved and opened up?
I think what's been interesting, because we've spoken to a lot of workers on construction sites, we're now working with some very large construction companies, and appetites can evolve over time. So not only are we a consumer recruitment service, but some of the tech we've delivered as a platform in itself, some construction companies are looking at, can we use that? Can we bring it in-house?
Yeah.
Can we use that tech to onboard our own workers? Can we use it at site to make sure people have got the right qualifications? So what we thought to begin with would be a very much consumer app connecting employers to workers. We're also seeing as a standalone piece of technology for licensing, subscription. And that's something we didn't even think of or dream of when we first launched.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's fascinating, isn't it? Because once you get into something like that, it all of a sudden, it kind of explodes and opens up into so many different avenues where, you know, people go, well, can it do that? Well, can it do that? And you go, well, with a bit of tweaking, it probably could.
I work very closely with a co-director of the business, and, you know, the watchword there is always diversification. When can we do this? When can we do that? When can we do this? And it's fantastic that you can see it being applied in so many different ways, but you also have to be realistic with a small team such as our own, that you've got to bring in the money as well. So it's about being agile and waiting for that right opportunity to diversify if you want to.
Can I ask how you intend to monetize this, if indeed you do intend to monetize it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, free to the worker, download, create a profile. And at a point of service, it's free to the employer.
Yeah.
We just work at the moment as a traditional recruiter, whereby we'll make a margin on any recruitment that the employer does through the platform.
Right, okay.
And actually, our margins are very competitive because we've made sure that this is a tech play and not a people-driven industry where we have banks and banks and desks in very expensive offices.
Mm.
So we can be very competitive in the market.
Absolutely, yeah. So you've minimised the cost of doing it. Okay, cool. Right, so where do we go from here? Presumably you're ready. It's launched.
Mm-hmm.
yeah and it's available so people can download it and use it. So have we got big grand marketing plans going on now?
I mean, Polly, you're going into colleges, aren't you? That's your role that you're enjoying at the moment, talking to the students and the teachers.
And the teachers, yeah. We're doing all sorts of things, the Women in Construction events. At the minute, it's about getting the app out there because it's new and it's different. You only have to sign up once and that's it. You wait for the offers to come in. It's not you have to go on and apply every day.
And of course, young kids and college students know about apps, so that's very user friendly for them.
Definitely, yeah.
And the fact that it's free is always a bonus. Free.
That's right. I suppose we have that conundrum that a very famous platform like Uber would have when setting out. You don't want too many taxis and drivers, and you don't want too many people who want lifts who you can't service. Yeah. Mm. So we're being very careful to grow our client base at the same rate we're growing our worker base, so we don't end up with any mismatched expectations.
Yeah.
But that said, we have one of our very exciting promotions out there at the moment.
We love a promo.
Drum roll, please. There is a free sausage roll. Not just any sausage roll, but a free Greg sausage roll for anybody completing that profile. Polly will send you the code personally.
I will.
Okay.
Get signed up.
And word of mouth is a wonderful thing. So we're seeing workers on site using the app, talking to mates, talking to friends, sharing it.
And that's really important, isn't it? Because one of the questions I was going to ask you is that in terms of getting people to download and use the app, how easy have you found it in terms of explaining to the potential users of it what it is? You know, quite a few new things come along and people go, oh, I don't need that, I already got that. Yeah, or, you know, I can look at that on CFAX. You don't even remember what CFAX is.
They're far too young.
Yeah, that's why I threw it in, because they couldn't argue.
You'll say Betamax in a minute.
How have you found the process of explaining what the app is? How easy have you found that?
Any marketing message can be difficult when you want someone to do more than just press the button.
Yeah.
And obviously this is investing time, and it's investing time in your career, so we think it's worthwhile.
Mm.
But people can download the app, and if they get as far as putting in their name and address, that's okay, rest it.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch and we'll get the rest done with you.
Yeah,
so
sure.
About people taking that journey, potentially building up some trust with it, trust of us, to actually give us their qualifications. We use camera-first technology, so it's point, it's click, and we can see your certificate, which will then check against database. We make it as seamless as possible.
Right.
But frankly, marketing key into the top-line messages. You know, we'll match with your next job. You know, how we do that and what we need from you to do that, we can get into, but just give us the time of
show.
Okay. And the worker sets their own rate of pay, which is a real bonus.
The app
won't match them with something that's £5 an hour less than what they were looking for.
Okay.
So they're in control of how much they want to get out of bed for.
How do you find for youngsters at, for example, Folkestone with transport, because Kent is not known for its
transport
link?
The app will match on location, so it will prioritise anybody within the local area first of all, which is good because it's matching those local workers to the local site. And then the worker, when they're completing their profile, will put in if they drive, get the bus, get the train, and the app will calculate their carbon footprint for the year and stuff.
Oh,
like
wow,
that, and report
okay.
back to the employer as well.
So it's pretty comprehensive, this thing, isn't it? Yeah.
There's a lot in it, and one of the things we've probably touched on there is the kind of the helicopter reporting view for employers.
Yeah.
They want to know who they've had on site, when, what qualifications they've had, how many fraudulent claims of a qualification have they seen, how many right to work checks have been failed. All of that stuff is really important for businesses to report on nowadays to prove that they're being compliant and being clean and giving back to the community.
But it's also important from a recruitment point of view. You know, we've discussed the fact that there is a talent shortage there, and if you're a firm that's not responding to that in the right way, you're gonna suffer really badly. You know, so if your pay is well out of kilter, if your offer to workers is well out of kilter, then you know that kind of feedback is absolutely gold dust, isn't it? Because you need that. You know,
one thing we found very clear very early on was that if we were advertising jobs for employers, the workers felt weren't at the right rate, they're not slow in coming forward with their feedback.
You're having a laugh, mate, aren't you? Well, get out of bed for that. No, absolutely. But it's important, you know, I mean, it is good feedback, isn't it? And, you know, it enables you to structure what you're doing as a business that says, okay, we need to think about this, because that has a knock-on effect all the way through the business, doesn't it? If you're planning businesses and you're, I don't know, £5 an hour under market rate, that has a knock-on effect to what you're quoting people for doing jobs. If you suddenly got to reevaluate, you know, 100 staff at £500 an hour extra, that adds up, and could be your profit margin going west. So, absolutely. I love the sound of it. I love what you're doing. It sounds like a really fantastic and very in-depth app. There's a lot of functions to it, and a lot of things you can do. So what are the plans? You know, world domination, you know?
Yeah, that's it, basically.
Pretty much. So will you stay in Kent, or will you branch?
Well, we're already working across the UK, right, with employers and workers. We do have a solid network of employers within Kent, given the location of where the business is founded.
Mm. There's an awful lot of building going on in Kent, isn't there? Huge housing developments.
Huge indeed.
May I just add, without water butts or solar panels or any infrastructure, or a reservoir, because we have a hose pipe ban now already.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it rained and rained and rained all
Was it a brown flag at your beach, or was it a blue flag?
They've just put a blue flag. Okay. Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. But I'm baffled by that, because we came up as one of the worst. And also Wheelers, you know, our lovely fish restaurant, I went to buy some fresh crab from there, and it's now pasteurised crab, all wrapped up. And it's from Jersey or somewhere. It's no longer local.
It's a shame.
And it's pasteurised, so it's not really... Yeah.
That's big.
What's big?
If it's pasteurised, it's big.
Big?
Pasteurised.
That's what you're
Come on, Jules, keep on going.
Your Kentish accent, that's
it. Yeah.
But we're confident we've got a great product, but we're also... humble, and we need to cut our teeth in one industry to begin with, that is construction.
Yeah.
We think we can do very well in it, but we're going to keep our eyes and ears open for diversification, because there are other sectors out there who could do with tools like this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as you say, you've got a platform that that can be used in different ways, which is really cool.
I just love Mark's headphone technique.
Yeah,
totally. They're gradually slipping further.
He doesn't like wearing headphones. I know the feeling.
Nobody likes wearing headphones.
Yeah.
But your technique is the best I've seen. I'm waiting for them to be around your ankles.
Cool. I love what I've heard about it. And the fact that you can integrate all of these things, and I happen to know that the starting point for this, as you say, was the RIF Group, and one of the things that they've done for the construction industry is they detach returns for people, you know, as I said earlier, with like reverse VAT and all that nonsense. You know, we now have to do all our own bloody tax work, don't we? And HMRC just come along and go, you haven't done that right, and you go, really? So presumably you can tie some of that in as well, where you can give people help with that.
Workers had assignments over the course of a year. We can loop them back in with the likes of RIF tax refunds to figure out what sort of return they can do, which is great. Happy birthday to them, I think. It's their 25th anniversary this year, is it?
Yeah.
The RIF tax refund started when the Channel Tunnel was being built. So it's some time ago now.
Right. Cool. I'll just... We've got a little bit of a technical problem there, which I'll sort out in a minute. But
asking about your app, did you design it yourself? Are you techie enough, or did you get a boss in to do it? Or I've never designed an app.
I don't know. I've worked enough in technology to be able to smell when something's not right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we have some very clever people who live and breathe it every single
boffins.
Day. Yeah, the so, boffins. We need boffins.
Yeah.
I think you know, technology is amazing nowadays. You need people with those hard sort of coding skills to develop and sit in front of the screen, but that needs to be blended with vision, articulation, pragmatism. So it takes a few different types of tech specialists to bring out the best in the project, which is quite intriguing nowadays. We've got a very bright orange brand. It's very difficult to miss it when you're in an
orange
app store.
Orange is my favourite.
You
colour.
Like orange? That's good. Yeah. So that wasn't to do with me, but it certainly catches the eye.
The bunker was orange when we first started.
Yeah. It's such a good positive colour, orange. But I want to go back to when you left school, careers. Were you given any careers advice, or did you look into what did you want to do, or apart from being a train driver or a pilot, what most men want to do when they're kids?
Gosh, I left the Norton Natural School in Ashford in about 1992, and I was off that ilk. It was university. You go to university, it's conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And from there, it was the milk round, where as a graduate, you just send off.
What did you study at uni?
History.
And where did you go?
That was at Royal Holloway.
It's North London,
West of London. And got into my first company, which is also a local company, Saga, down in Folkestone.
Oh, Saga.
Changed a lot over the years, of course.
Yeah.
And from there to other companies, a mixture of startups, PLCs, and so on, until, like I said at the beginning, during COVID, finding my wings clipped slightly and seeking opportunities locally, and hence working with the Rift Group and fantastically Job Matcher. Because it's been a great journey, hoping it will continue for a long time.
Yeah, I just texted my lovely bricklayer with a little job, and he didn't answer me. And so I then sent him a picture of the little job with the exact measurements of the little job. So, you know, then he can just tell me how much it's going to cost, and I'll say, yes, please, come and do it.
Yeah, but he...
still nothing.
Yeah, but he knows you, Jules. I'm not going anywhere near her.
He did a pillar on my... You know the famous tale where my father-in-law reversed out of our drive, we're on the seafront, and like a rabbit in the headlights, kept his automatic foot on the thing and reversed at very high speed down Tankerton Slope.
And launched.
And only was stopped by the pebbles on the beach.
Wow.
So he went down backwards, and I just have this vision. In fact, I was worse watching it than they were, of him and his lady friend, like rabbits, just going down. And I called an ambulance because I thought they'd be dead. My new husband ran out following them, swearing, and somebody filmed them going down because they thought they were joyriders. And they both got out the car on the water's edge with the water lapping the BMW and walked out unscathed. And the ambulance came, and in fact, the police came and breathalyzed them, and they were totally sober. But I was in shock for 3 days and dreaming a nightmare about this, just reliving them going down for 3 days. So... why did I get onto that?
I have no idea. Anyway, coming back to Mark and Job Matcher, we talked about being an app. Is there actually a website with it as well?
Yeah, you can access it on the web, on mobile web. Although we're finding most users that prefer to use it on their smartphones, Apple or Android, you can access it through a website.
Okay, and you can download the app presumably from Google Play and the App Store.
Absolutely, search for Job Matcher with an A at the end.
Job Matcher with an A.
And you'll find our orange logo, and it's a click to download.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for telling us all about your wonderful new app, and we wish you continued success. It's already been a success, but it's going to grow, and it's going to take off, and it's been good. And we love the fact that you're actually engaging with the local community as well, you know, young people in schools and colleges, to talk about the world of work. For me, that's something that's very close to my heart, because, you know, we need to encourage the talent that comes out of schools. We need to help them get into the world of work, and as employers, we need talented employees. It's one of those things that we're really bad at in this country. You know, careers advice. Jules was asking you about the careers advice you got when I was at school. The careers officer went, "You can work in the dockyards or you can join the army. Which are you doing?" I went, "Neither." "Right, we'll clear off then." And that was it. You know. So it's important that we tell people about the opportunities that are available to them, and the scope of things. And I love hearing about Job Matcher and the fact that it's got so much more to it than just job matching. Yeah, there's a lot of elements to it that, you know, so even if you're not looking for a job, it's still an important app to have, basically. Yeah, cool. Thank you so much, guys, for talking about it. We've got about 10 minutes left of the show. Do feel free to join in for the rest of it. For the moment, Mark and Polly from Job Matcher, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
We got loads of tweets coming in about all kinds of nonsense.
I'm sure some of them aren't nonsense.
Oh, no, none of them are nonsense. Did I say nonsense?
Yes,
I didn't mean nonsense.
Yeah.
Michael Park Surveyors has said, thank you, Paul and Jules. Would love a business monk. A shout out. Tuned in to do it today and really enjoying the show. So thank you. That's Michael Parks. They're commercial building surveyors based on the Medway City Estate in Rochester, covering the southeast of England.
I was asking Sarah Marsh Collins about her lamb kebab because it interests me, because who doesn't love a lamb kebab? And I asked her if it was the sign of a good night the night before. But she says, she's very holy actually, she says, I have to admit I bought ready prepared kebabs and popped them under the grill, and listen to this, she made up a harissa yogurt dressing, my very favourite, to go with, reasonably healthy, and she said she was going to pick up some from Hayward's Farm Shop in Hadlow next week when she's down there. So she gets kebabs from Hayward's Farm Shop.
Blimey.
And we love a farm shop on this show. Yeah.
I had another tweet from Steph Young. She says, thank you so much for the shout-out. Love listening to my favourite radio presenters, Vanilla Ebener.
He said, yeah, I think they said it more politely about me.
She probably did, but I'm paraphrasing.
Exactly.
Oh, you started publishing your back catalogue of stupid photographs of me.
Well, they were saying they loved you in a hat, and it was a GIF or a GIF or whatever it's called.
Oh, right.
So I gave them one of you wearing my hat once.
Oh, right, okay.
It was my hat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a funny day.
Yeah.
And you look very fetching in it, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who else?
I'm just trying to catch up with everything.
Well, there's a breakfast networking while you catch up. And so it's another one. It's in Folkestone, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Shearway Business Park, Polly.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Are you concentrating?
I am. Yeah,
you?
Sorry.
So listen to this. You could go. So it's the Marsh Network, and it's breakfast networking. It's at Base Point, Folkestone. Mm-hmm. So I thought that might be good for you. I don't know. 7:45 to 9 a.m. on the 18th of July, and you could tell them all about your app and everything. And there's also another one in East Sussex, which is 10:30 on the 1st of August. And to book, you go to marshnetwork.co.uk. That's so easy.
The Tenterton Chamber of Commerce have tweeted, hi, Paul and your little helper. please can you give a shout-out to a busy Chamber team still processing new member applications and Tenterton card offers. So do feel that you've been shouted out. And good luck with that. Liz from Shoreway Marketing, absolutely thrilled and honoured to have been selected as a finalist for the second year running for the Business Awards Canterbury Businesswoman of the Year Awards. So
well
congratulations
done,
on that, Liz. You're already a winner just by being in the finals again. So good luck, and we'll see you, I think it's in November, the gala dinner, I can't remember.
Yeah, and there's lots of stuff coming in about with Emma, and Emma, I've hooked you up on Twitter with a few of my cronies, so the Freds, Right Said Fred, and a few others. And yeah, you can't say hooked up, because Ken Herring gets very upset, because in America...
Oh, did you see what...
in America, it's sexual. Whereas in England, it's fine, isn't it?
Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Yeah.
Reported to the police a woman who complained in England, who said she'd ordered a book, and when it arrived, it was bent. And they reported her to the police for using inappropriate language.
Oh, ridiculous. Ridiculous. Really?
Yeah,
in
really.
England?
Yeah, yeah.
They need to sort out burglaries.
Phone theft. No, the problem here is, we were talking about AI, it's an algorithm.
Yeah.
And Americans write algorithm using American English.
Yeah.
They don't think about... She got banned from Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
She had two champagne glasses and she went chink, chink, and they went, racist, you're banned, off you go.
Ridiculous, I got banned for ages. And my new husband was taught to write in American because he worked for Bloomberg. So, and I get very uppity when he writes some of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I reach out and all that sort of stuff, I get very annoyed. I just say, talk to them or connect, reach out. When do we start reaching out? It's all very, we have real fun.
I know that song, Reach Out.
Yeah, it's a good one. Diana Ross.
Right, the Rebel School has got another free business support course coming up for Kent, and I wanted to make sure that everyone in the community knows about it. The practical, inspiring, action-focused course runs online from the 10th to the 21st of July and helps people to start and grow a business in a straightforward way and without getting into debt. Here's just a small selection of the feedback from recent attendees. It was an amazing workshop, very clear, really helped me push forward with my business ideas to the point where I am now up and trading. Thank you so much for your support. I am from Ukraine and I'm now getting used to life in the UK, but I can see that we have many similar things in both our countries, and this is so much appreciated that you showed me a part of creating a business here. And the third testimonial is, I cannot even say more than thank you. I'm a dropout from every school, education, uni, college I've never completed a course in anything before, because I always drop out. And for the first time in my life, I've finished something and launched a business. So that's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's a free event. It's online, so you don't have to go anywhere. It's the rebelbusinessschool.com. That's their website. If you do rebelbusinessschool.com/Kent, you can find out about their local events. Henry Nicholson, who's the person behind this, was on the show about 4 months ago, yeah, talking about this. The whole thing is funded by the government. They're an independent business.
I'm surprised the government's got any money left.
Yeah. Well, they do. They just put taxes up, don't they? Yeah. That's all they do. And then they got some more money for a little while.
Exactly.
So it's totally free, and it's about encouraging business startups. But, of course, it's really good because it's a very practical, reality-based course. It doesn't get overly hung up on business plans and all the rest of it. And it talks mostly about bootstrapping businesses rather than, trying to get, because most people are just trying to start small lifestyle-type businesses, and they don't need investors, and they wouldn't get investors anyway. So it teaches you how to bootstrap a business, which is really useful. Oh, what you got, George? Well, we haven't got long left, actually.
No, we haven't. We've had lots for Emma as well on your story, so too many to read out, but you've obviously hit a nail on the head, or whatever, a nerve.
You've hit a nerve on the head.
A nerve on the head.
Yeah.
Wild About Maidstone have sent in some info. They've got an arts carnival coming to town, and it's Maidstone Borough Council, and they're working with Emergency Exit Arts to bring a bright and colourful walking arts festival, which is called Wild About Maidstone. It's on the 15th of July, which is a Saturday, and it's from 2 p.m. And they say everyone can come. There's also 4 free public workshops which will be taking place on the following dates. I'm going to read them out. And they say everyone's welcome to come along and create a carnival headdress and be part of the procession. So on the 24th of June, what's the date today? I've got no idea.
It's about 25th, isn't it? 25th.
All right, so you've missed that one. But the 1st of June...
27th.
Gosh, where did June go?
I don't know. Where did she go?
I don't know. She was the co-presenter once, wasn't she?
Yeah.
1st of July, Lock Meadow. Lock.
Lock.
Lock. 8th of July, The Mall.
Mal.
15th of July, Royal Star Arcade. I can say that. And the procession is going to start from the Archbishop's Place, tall hat, at 2 p.m, walking through the town into Brenchley Gardens, where there will be a finale event with music from 2:45 until 5:30. Emma, you should perform there.
Yeah, come on, get on with it.
In a while. Yeah.
What is your type of music?
It's kind of indie rock. Some of it. Okay. The one that's coming out soon is more acoustic, electroacoustic. Mm.
And what do you play? Guitar?
Guitar, saxophone, and sing.
Wow.
Not the same time.
Well, so your lungs have recovered with the saxophone.
Well, I mean, it does help, and that's another reason. Yeah. It really is creative therapy. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, saxophone. So, as I said, there's some free public workshops there. So get involved by, contact Maidstone Borough Council about it, I would. But it's Saturday the 15th of July from 2 p.m. and lots and lots are going on. There's old school samba, South London samba, part of the, I love a bit of samba.
Right, there's classic cars at Kenwood. Classic cars, campers, bikes and scooters are all welcome on the third Sunday of every month at Kenwood Trust, 10 a.m. to midday, £5 a vehicle. You need to pre-book it. You get tea and coffee, and there's also bacon or veggie rolls.
I'd go for
it's
the
worthwhile. They staged the first one in June, and there was a brilliant turnout of specialist classic cars and bikes and trucks and all kinds. So do get involved. If you want to find out more about that, you need to call them on 01622 814187. That's Maidstone, 01622 814187. Or you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada and find out all about it there.
Yeah, and Tracy Ferguson listening in Gravesend, if she's still pottering about there. She says the app, by the way, sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well done. I was going to say, if you want to find the old job matches again, what's the website?
It's www.jobmatcher.com.
Okay, because it's not on your bio, so put it on your bio immediately after the show, young man.
Polly will show you.
That'll be my job. It's quite important.
Yeah, but it's mostly an app, isn't it? So you're going to download it from Google Play or the App Store.
Yeah, but also it's a website.
What?
It's also a website.
Yeah, you want.
I like to get things down. So old fashioned.
She can't work her phone, that's why.
No. Well, I tell you what you need to do after the show. Did you see my tweet last week?
Which one?
New phone. Of course, it doesn't connect to my bloody car again.
Oh, I saw that. Have you done it yet?
No.
You've done it.
It never finds it.
You've done it the wrong way round. You have to do it from the phone to the car.
It told me to look at the
Bluetooth. Yeah, no, it's wrong. It's wrong. Because it's an iPhone and a Mercedes.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
The instructions are wrong. You have to do it in a reverse order.
Bullet point me and I'll try.
I'll come and do it for you later. I'm going to take Emma back to the station, but then I'll do your car for you.
It's very annoying every time you get a new phone. And then all my banking, I had to do all that. Oh, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Good camera on the new one, though, I must say. The camera's good.
On what, the phone or a car?
On the 14, I think I've got. I've lost track.
Yeah.
But quite a good camera.
Maidstone Borough Council has sent me this about the Maidstone Innovation Centre, and it's won a building award. The Maidstone Innovation Centre building has won Best Architectural Design as part of the South East Construction Awards. Maidstone Innovation Centre is a Maidstone Borough Council initiative which was part-funded by the European Regional Development Fund 2014 to 2020 and offers state-of-the-art facilities with flexible working space, offices, meeting rooms and conference facilities. Part of the Kent Medical Campus, it's aimed at businesses working in the life science, healthcare and medical sectors. The award was given to Maidstone Borough Council, Bond Bryan Architects and Ryden Construction for their work on the Maidstone Innovation Centre. If you want to find out more about it, Wibbly Wobbly Way, www.maidstoneinnovationcentre.co.uk.
Brilliant. I've read all mine.
Have you?
Just diligently.
Yeah, well, we are at the end of the show. We've got about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to read these.
And Emma's going to send us some MP3s and we can
play some of her music. Stop this cheesy tune nonsense.
Well, we could do another one. Oh, when you're away, you see, I can do what I want.
This is an early warning. You need to do this now, although it's a long way off. It's Kent Creative Culture in Kent.
Oh, yeah.
We're calling all artists, designers and makers in Kent and invite them to submit their work to the Designers and Makers Market, which is taking place at the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of December.
Okay. Yeah, but they're makers, so it takes a while.
So you've got to make it and submit it in time to get it showcased in December, right? Our aim is to provide a platform for Kent-based designers and makers to showcase their work, offering the chance to sell directly to new and existing customers. The event is now in its sixth year. It's taking place in one of the county's most significant cultural venues, and we are excited to offer this opportunity to be part of it.
Is that the Turner?
It's at the Turner Contemporary in Margate, yeah. cultureinkent.org/events/designers and makers. That's cultureinkent.org/events/designers and makers.
Excellent.
The Kent Business School at the University of Kent is offering a business clinic. Discover if Kent Business School high calibre students and expert academics can offer solutions to your business. Our areas of expertise are the four departments within the Kent Business School: accounting and finance, analytics, operations and systems, leadership and management, marketing, entrepreneurship and international business. If you'd like to find out more, drop an email, kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. And that's about it, really. I've got a couple more to read out, but we haven't got any time.
Well, I'm just thinking about Sarah Marsh Collins kebab now.
You're going to try and get a...
With a little harissa dressing.
Yeah, okay, you're going home for a kebab, aren't you?
Yeah, I fancy one. Yeah. I've actually got some bass tonight.
Some what?
Sea bass. Yeah, we've got a new fishmonger in Whitstable.
Have you?
And we had bream. Did you see my bream?
I did, actually, yeah.
That was delicious. Living life on the bream.
And you're having bass tonight?
Yeah, doing it in the garden.
What are you doing with a crab? You said you had a crab.
Oh, I ate that, yeah.
Oh, did you?
I wolfed that down. But then I've got a call at 8 p.m, which is really annoying.
No, you don't want that.
Yeah, but you've got to do it.
Don't want that.
Got to fit it in.
Yeah. Right, we've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that took part, to the lovely Emma Holmes, and we wish you continued success with what you're doing and your recovery and your wonderful documentary and your music career. To Mark Woodcock and Polly from Job Matcher, what a fantastic act. We're going to kind of watch this as you progress and grow and yeah. do that and spread this out to the wonderful world of construction. Thank you all so much for joining us on the Business Monkey Show. To my stunningly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin, and to everybody that tweeted and emailed, we'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.